Okay, so the Mishnah and Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph in the seventh parak of Sanhedrin continues. The first part of the Mishnah provides a list of no fewer than 17 averos that warrant skila. Among the 17 are a person who has znus with his mother, with his father's wife, with his daughter-in-law, a man who has znus with a zachar, a person who has engages in bestiality, a man or a woman. A person who curses a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Megadiv, an Oved Avodas Kochavim, a person who offers their child to Molech, a person who practices Ovi Adoni, a person who is Machal Shabbos, a person who curses his parents, a person who is a Bol Anam Rasa, a Mesis or a Mediach, which Rashi explains that a Mesis is a person who sways off Yechidim to worship Avodah Zarah, or a Mediach is a person who causes a whole city to become an Iran Hidachas. A Mechashiv, a person who practices witchcraft, and a Ben Sorer Umore. So now, the next part of the Mishnah is devoted to a case where what happens if a person committed two crimes in one, and he did it b'shogeg. So now, the question is he accountable for one Chatas or two Chataos? And the Mishnah entertains three cases. The first case is a case where a person has znus with his mother. So now the two issues on the table is that he has znus with his mother, and number two is that he has znus with his father's wife. So the question is, now that he did this peshogig, is he accountable for one chatas, for having znus with his mother, or two chatas, for having znus with his mother and with his father's wife? So according to the Chacham, they say he's accountable for both having znus with his mother and for having znus with his father's wife, with Eishes Av. Rav Yehuda says, no, he's accountable only for having znus with his mother, and the Gemara will go through Shitas Rav Yehuda. The second case that the Mishnah considers is if a person has znus with his father's wife, with Eishes Av, and she's not necessarily his mother. So now, if he has znus with Eishes Av, well, she's also a married woman. She's an Eishes Ish. So should he be accountable, and this was, of course, b'shogeg, so should he be accountable for having znus with his father's wife, for Eishes Av, or for Eishes Ish, one or both? So the Mishnah presents this as unanimous, that everybody would agree that he would be accountable for both Eishes Av and for Eishes Ish. What about if his father died and then he had znus with this woman? Would he still be accountable for Eishes Ish or for Eishes Av? So the way the Rashi explains it is that he would be accountable for Eishes Av, but not for Eishes Ish, because there is no Isser for Eishes Ish after the husband has died, but there is an Isser for Eishes Av after the husband has died. What about if his father was married to this girl only through Kiddushin? Still, there is still an Isser there's still Ishus, whether it's Kiddushin or whether there's Nisun. So that's the second case that the Mishnah considers. The third case the Mishnah considers is what happens if a person has nus with his daughter-in-law. Now, his daughter-in-law is, number one, kala. So, and number two, the issue on the table is that he's having nus with an Eishes Ish. So which one should he be accountable for? And the Mishnah, again, says that he should be accountable for both having nus with his kala and for having nus with an Eishes Ish. So he'd have to bring two chataos. What about if it's after his son died? Is there still an Isser of Kalos? So the answer is, yeah, there's still an Isser of Kalos, so even after his son dies. What about if his son is married to this girl only through Kedushin? Still doesn't make a difference if it's Kedushin or Nisun, there's still Ishus, which case you'd be accountable for Kalos or for Eishes Ish. So far what the Mishnah did is, the first part of the Mishnah was just speaking out the 17 or so cases where we find there are averos that are punishable by skila, and that second half of the Mishnah discussed what happens if a person has violated two Yisurim in one. So do we hold him accountable for one or two chatos if he did them b'shogeg? When it comes to a person who is baal his mother, so we said that that's a machlokas tanaim. But for Eishes Av and for kalaso, we said everybody would agree that he'd be accountable for two chatos. Now the Gemara presents that even though the Tan of our Mishnah presented Rabbi Yehuda, remember the case Rabbi Yehuda commented about is if a person hits nus with his mother. So the Chacham held that he should be held accountable for having znos with aim and for having znos with hs av. Rebuta said, no, he's accountable only for having znos with aim. So now the Braisa says that Shitas Rebuta is that he is accountable for having znos only with his mother, only where his father was not halachically married to this girl, where his father married a girl, a woman who is not ru'uyala. So the Gemara wants to know, what does this mean that he married a girl who's not ru'uyala? So if you want to tell me that that means that his father married Chayve Krisus or Chayve Mises Bezin, so the way that it would work out then is that Rav Yehuda would be saying, yeah, if a person has nus with his mother and his mother was married to his father, but not halachically because his father married a girl who's Chayve Krisus or Chayve Mises Bezin, so there's no Tvisas Kedushin in that case, right? So there's no valid Kedushin. If there's no valid Kedushin, of course he wouldn't be liable. He wouldn't be accountable for his nus with his father's wife because his father was never married to this woman. She's not an Ashes Av. She's just his, in this case, it would just be having his nus with his mother. But if that would be the case, that his father had married a girl who is Chayve Krisus or Chayve Mises Bezin, so why would the Chum disagree? Everybody agrees that Chayve Krisus and Chayve Mises Bezin have no Tefisas Kedushin, in which case the father was not married halachically to this girl. There was no Kedushin. If there's no Kedushin, so even the Chum should agree that if a person had Znos with his mother, that he would be accountable only for having Znos with Aim and not for Eishas Av. So therefore the Gemara says, must be that when we say that according to Yehuda, he's not married to his father married a girl who's not Ro'ilo, must be that she wasn't Ro'ilo, because we're talking about a kind of Kedushin that Yehuda would hold. There's no Tfisus Kedushin, but the Chacham would hold that there is Tfisus Kedushin. What is such a case? Such a case would be for Chayvi Lavin if Rabbi Yehuda held like Shitas Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no Tfisus Kedushin by Chayvi Lavin. If that's the case, what would be an example? Let's say Reuven's father Yaakov got married to Mamzeres. So now, that marriage is, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no marriage, because there's no Tfisus Kedushin. But according to the Chacham, who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, they would hold that there is a marriage, there is Tfisus Kedushin, so there is Ishus. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva would say, well, now that Reuven has Znus with Yaakov's wife, so he would be accountable only for Aim, only for having Znus with his mother, because that girl is not married to Yaakov, halachically. There's no Tfisus Kedushin. While the Chacham would say, no, he should be accountable, Reuven should be accountable for having Znus with his mother and for his father's wife, because there is Tfisus Kedushin for Chayvei Lavin. So Rav Oshia raises a slight issue with this understanding of Shitas Rav Yehuda. If you want to tell me that Rav Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva, we have a braisa that seems to indicate that Rav Yehuda disagrees with Shitas Rav Yehuda. Where do we find this? So Rav Oshia points you to a braisa in Yevamos, that the braisa tells us that if you have an Isser Mitzvah or an Isser Kedusha, the question is, what happens if an Isser Mitzvah or Isser Kedusha falls to the Mitzvah of Yibam? Do they have to do Yibam or do they do Chalitza? So the halacha is that Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha only do Chalitza. We'll explain these cases in a minute. The case of Isser Mitzvah, at least according to the Chacham explained that the case of Isser Mitzvah are Shnios Midivrei Sofrim. For example, the way the Rashi explains it is that we're dealing with aim emo or aim of it, where there's no Isser Deraisa, so there's only an Isser Mitzvah. An Isser Mitzvah that the Chachamim dictated that this woman is usher to marry, because they were nervous we got confused with her and somebody else who is really usher to marry. And therefore, what would happen, for example, if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon married his grandmother. So now Shimon dies without children. Would Reuven have to do Yibam to Shimon's wife, who is his grandmother? So that would be the case of Isser Mitzvah. So in that case, the halacha that we are telling is that for the case of Isser Mitzvah, he should not do Yibam, but he should do Chalitza. Or the case of Isser Kedusha, according to the Tanakhama, is, let's say, Amana L'Kohen Gadol, or Grusha V'Chalitza L'Kohen Hedyet. They're called Kedusha because the Pasuk says about Kohanim, Kedoshim Yu Le'elokeyim. So now, if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and they are Kohanim, and Shimon got married to a Grusha, he's not supposed to marry a divorcee, but let's say Shimon did marry a divorcee, and then Shimon died without children. So now the question is, should Reuven do Yibam or Chalitza to Shimon's widow? should he do chalitza or yibam when there is an iser kedusha? This would be a classic case of chavei lavin. So this Bryce is telling us that Shimon should, that Reuven should not do yibam, but he should do chalitza. Now, Rav Yehuda Kam is over. He says, back to the Tanakama, at least he seems to say that I would agree with you in halacha that Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha should do Chalitza B'Nayibam, but my issue is that you have the cases mixed up. You have the terminology of Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha backwards. You think that Isra Mitzvah is the case of where Reuven and Shimon are brothers and Shimon marries his grandmother. That Isra Mitzvah, the definition of Isra Mitzvah would be Shniyos Midivrei Sofim. And Isra Kedusha, according to you, is that an Amana L'Kohen Gadol L'Grusha V'Chalitza L'Kohen Yadid. Rav Yehuda says, but you've got it backwards. Really, Isra Kedusha are Shniyos Midivrei Sofrim, and Isra Mitzvah is Amana L'Kohen Gadol. Why does Rav Yehuda feel that Isra Kedusha is Shniyos Midivrei Sofrim? So Rashi explains over here that Isra Mitzvah, or Isra Kedusha, let's say Isra Mitzvah, he says that Isra Mitzvah is Amana L'Kohen Gadol L'Grusha V'Chalitza L'Kohen Yadid, because the Pasuk at the very end of Sefer Vayikra says, Eilah HaMitzvos, in reference to the Mitzvos Kuhuna. So we see that the halachas that pertain to Kohen Gadol, or Grusha V'Chulis, or Lekhan Hanyet, that falls into the category of Isra Mitzvah, while Isra Kedusha refers not to Amana Lekhan Gadol, but to Shnios Midivrei Sofrim. Why is that? Because Chazal were saying that Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mortalach, that we want you to keep away even from somebody who is permissible to you, because so that you refrain from being together with somebody who is usher to you. That's why he says that Isra Kedusha are really Shnios Midivrei Sofrim, while Isra Mitzvah is really Amana L'Kohen Gadol. But what it sounds like here is that the debate between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda is strictly a technical one. Whether the Isra Mitzvah are Shnios Midivrei Sofrim and Isra Kedusha are Amana L'Kohen Gadol, or vice versa. But if that's the case, that Rav Yehuda is not disagreeing with the Tanakama in principle, that Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha are supposed to do Chalitza, it sounds like Rav Yehuda does not hold of Rabbi Akiva. Because if Rabbi Yehuda did hold of Rabbi Akiva, well, we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvei Lavin are like Chayvei Krisis, that there is no Tfisas Kedushin. If there's no Tfisas Kedushin, then they should not be subject to Yibam or Chalitza. So how could Rabbi Yehuda hold in this Braisa that the Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha are supposed to do Chalitza if he holds like Rabbi Akiva that there's no Tfisas Kedushin for Isra Mitzvah and Isra Kedusha? So the Gemara says, no, it is possible for Rabbi Yehuda to really hold like Rabbi Akiva. What's going on in that Braisa? Rabbi Yehuda is not really agreeing in principle to the Tanakam. He's just saying, given your halacha, whatever you hold your halacha is, I'm just telling you, you have the terms backwards. But not that Rabbi Yehuda is actually agreeing in principle to the halacha that the Tanakama is saying. Okay, so far what we had is that in the Mishnah we gave a list of the people who are subject to Skila. That was in the first part of the Mishnah. In the second part of the Mishnah we discussed three cases where there are two Yisurim on the table. And the question is that if you violated these Yisurim Bishogi, would you be held accountable for one of them or two of them? We said that there's a debate about Haba al Ha'im, if a person is nus with his mother. That's the only case where there's a debate between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara presented a Braisa. There's a Tana who understands Rabbi Yehuda to hold something different from what the Tana in our Mishnah says Rabbi Yehuda holds, and that is that Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa says that if a person has nus with his mother, he is held accountable only for having nus with his mother because his father married a girl who is not ru'oyelo. So we tried to figure out, what does it mean that she's not ru'oyelo? It can't mean that his father married a chavi krisis or chavi misis bezin, because then the Chum would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be that Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa understands that if the fellow has he had znus with his mother, and his mother had gotten married to his father. His father married a girl who was Chayvei Lavin, who was one of the Chayvei Lavin, where there's no Tfisas Kedushin or Kuntur Akiva, but the Chum hold that there is Tfisas Kedushin. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda held that there shouldn't be, that he should be accountable only for having znus with his mother, not for Eishas Av, because there is no Eishas according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Chum would disagree, and they would say, what do you mean there is Eishas, so he should be held accountable for both Aim and for Av? We raised a question from a Braisa that seems to indicate Rabbi Yehuda actually disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, but ultimately we rejected that Kasha, because it could be that Rabbi Yehuda, he disproved that point to say that Rabbi Yehuda could in fact hold like Rabbi Akiva.